Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Danny Meringue.
Dusty Bun.
Dusty Hera.
I've been really busy trying to save the world from Russians and monsters.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader.
Of course you have.
1080.
I want to hear it.
The Fan.
Hour number 3 here on a Thursday afternoon, whether you're listening along on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out on this wonderful, wonderful Thursday. And the Portland Trailblazers made one of the most surprising picks of my lifetime, picking Yong Hansen with the number 16 overall pick out of China, out of Qingdao.
He's going to be a star or a bum. We're definitive on it.
One of the questions is about his adjustment.
Yeah.
To not only the NBA but life in the USA. I want to grab this one real quick because I think it's a fun little thing. Austin White, formerly of the Portland Tribune, buddy of mine, great dude. He has this tweet: the Yong surname translates to the poplar tree. Han Sen can be broken into Han Sen, which translates to vast and full of trees. Now Yong Hansen is heading to the Pacific Northwest. It was meant to be.
Hey, I like this.
This is going to be a very interesting adjustment. China has not sent over a high-profile player. Yi Jianlian is the last guy that had like real juice behind him. Jackie Quay came over with the Blazers last year in Summer League, signed with the Brooklyn Nets, and there was a contingent of Chinese media that was a gaggle.
After Yao Ming, there was a big push for Chinese prospects in the CBA because they were investing money in the mm-hmm. CBA. The NBA invested a ton of money in China
and there's a billion
to promote
people.
Basketball. And so there was this big push to, all right, we are going to scout. We're going to invest time and resources into scouting Chinese prospects. The years following Yao Ming, there weren't any prospects that were coming.
He's
over.
The only one that had any staying power.
And so you saw like NBA scouting circles have gotten quiet on Chinese prospects because it's been a really long time since there have been guys that have been worthwhile that will come over.
And we had the whole Hoop Summit, not scandal, but there was a couple guys that were not the age they said they were.
Yeah.
There was one that was 22 or 23. And they said he was 18, I think. And it's like,
baseball runs into this all the time.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, that's a grown man.
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong.
I is 12.
Yeah. When Zion showed up at his Hoop Summit and I saw him in person for the first time, I was like, he's 24, but he's just that one in a billion dude built like a grown man at 16.
But this is to say that when a prospect does come over, mm-hmm. it is a big damn deal because mm-hmm. the NBA has put the resources in for a couple of decades now to promote basketball. Nike, Adidas, mm-hmm. they have sent over
Dame
our stars
every
single year. We've seen, Li Ning, the shoe company, mm-hmm. has gotten into the NBA mm-hmm. market, and they have signature shoes for players. There is a passion for basketball in a massive population in China of over a billion people. Mm-hmm.
And they love basketball.
When a player comes to the United States, it is a big damn deal. And this is one of the big questions that I have about Yong Hansen, is he has got development that needs to occur on the basketball side of things for him to be successful in the NBA.
Certainly.
There also is an immense amount of pressure that I don't think we are giving enough credence to for a guy who is drafted 16th overall and considered a reach at 16. Mm-hmm. Because the pressure of a country that has a billion people and is basketball crazed, that is going to be heaped upon a kid who turned 20 today mm-hmm. when he comes to the NBA.
You know, Suk has talked about his trip to Japan recently. And when he was in Tokyo, the entire city coming to a standstill when Shohei Ohtani comes up to bat
mm-hmm.
or is pitching. And it's like a scene out of the 40s when, you know, you have the TVs in the windows in New York and the Yankees are playing and you have just the entire city stops and watches, you know, whoever's up to bat because like this is, it's the monoculture. It's the draw. It's like, the pulse of everything in New York stops to watch that.
Yep.
This is like Denny Avdia is the Michael Jordan of Israel. He is their superstar. He is their Michael Jackson. I cannot explain to you how important Denny is culturally, sports, everything. He is the center of what they do. I believe Israel, the total population is 7 million, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's the number. China is a billion. When he comes over, when Yang comes over to Summer League, when Victor
Israel's just under 10 million.
It's okay. So it's a little bit bigger than that now. When Victor Wembanyama was drafted, they had to take him through the bowels of Thomas and Mack into a room the size of our big sales area to accommodate the 110 people that were in there for Wemby because of all of the international media. Probably 30 or 40 of them were from France.
Mm-hmm.
China is going to send an army of media to cover him. And it's not just going to be at Summer League. They're going to have probably at least 10 to a dozen people stationed here in Portland that are going to document his every move. They're going to have a videographer, social media, translator. What is Hansen like off the court? What is he like on the court? There is going to be a whole Chinese contingent from Tencent and the other media arms that they are going to live, breathe, eat, and die with every single thing that he does.
Circus is coming to town.
And that is going to be like, he's with that already because he's on the Chinese national team and it's kind of been a bit of a face for them, but this, he's going to become a face of a nation for the sporting side.
It is amazing how a lot of folks, I think here in Portland had never heard of him before.
Not me.
But he is a big deal where he has been playing and where he is from in China.
He's
already a big deal there.
Can I go a little tinfoil hat time?
Yeah, go ahead, dude.
Okay, so with the NBA being so invested in Chinese basketball and whatnot, and wanting to proliferate the game and
next year, Blazers get the number one pick.
Mm. Boom.
Was that it?
That was it.
Oh, Cam, I'm sorry about that.
No, that's all right. Did the Blazers do the league a favor reaching for Yang Hansen with a little nudge, nudge, wink, wink? Well, hey, how about the number one pick next year?
The Mavs sent Luka to L.A. and got the number one pick. It's not the weirdest thing you've ever said. Patrick Ewing went to the Knicks, buddy.
Yeah.
But also Tim Duncan, Victor Wembanyama, and David Robinson all went to San Antonio.
Yeah.
Well, but
yeah,
that's a deal with the devil.
Well, look. Yes.
This is a deal with the league.
Yeah, well, I mean, if the Blazers are now picking number one next year and it's one of Cam Boozer, Darren Peterson, or AJ DeBonce, I'm not going to be mad about it. Not going to be mad about it.
What do you think his jersey sales are going to be like?
Bonkers.
You think so?
Bonkers. He better not pick a whack number. He better not pick a whack number.
All right.
Don't do that.
I don't know.
Don't do that.
What would that. A whack number be in the 70s?
Number 96 on his jersey, but number one in your heart.
Yay! What did he wear in
for the Chinese national team, I think he wore 51. I had so many images that I was looking at.
I got 15 here.
Okay.
Well, usually those international squads, they don't like the numbers to go that high, typically, do they? They go up to 20 or something?
Typically, yeah.
I have met 51 for China, 15 for China. It seems like 15 is the number that I see him wearing the most.
Okay.
So he really is the Chinese Joker.
Whoa, dude.
Or is he just the Timu Jokic?
Dude. That's mean.
Well, he's not going 11.
Yeah,
that was
you think he wears 16?
Well, I don't think 15's not retired, right? Where did Larry Steele wear? Didn't he wear 15?
Unretire it.
Now I got to do the.
I got it. It's fine. I got it.
Numbers?
You go. Yeah. No. I'm looking at all the numbers. All the players that have worn 15 in Blazer. Yeah. Larry Steele.
Yeah. That's what.
Claude English in 71. Larry Steele 1972 to 80.
Yeah. So he can't wear 15.
No. 16. You've got Johnny Davis and CJ Ellaby.
Yeah. That 16's a whack number.
51. There have been two Blazers to wear number 51.
Shadlick?
No. One of them is very recent, and we all remember him. It was Ryan Archidiakono.
Oh, Archie, yeah.
And then Michael Ruffin also wore number 51.
Oh, there
for
you
the
go.
Blazers
legend.
Don't have to worry about that kid retired anytime soon.
51 is a linebacker number, so it's a little.
Yeah.
55? I like 55.
Yeah. He could wear 5.
Is nobody wearing 5 right now?
Delano Banton.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah.
I don't get rights to that.
No, but not that. I don't expect DB to be back.
That would be Hassan Jin's number.
Yeah, so you got to stay away from that one.
He could wear 1. That number's opened up recently.
Yeah, you're not wrong. 1 is available. Sorry, Ant.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Just don't go, don't go a whack number.
55. We have Kiki Vandeweghe.
All right.
Will Perdue.
Okay.
Tim Quarterman.
Ooh.
Derek Jones Jr.
Oh, that's right. I've read DJ War 55.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Tim Quarterman one. Yikes, dog. Not great for him.
No.
So there you go.
Right.
There's your Blazers numerology. All right, coming up next, I had a discussion with Mike Schmitz, assistant GM of the Portland Trail Blazers, about Yong Hansen earlier this morning. I'm going to write on it tonight, but I'm going to share with you a little bit from that, a little teaser, as it will, about expectations and some thoughts and processes as the Blazers evaluation went into Hansen. We'll get to that next year on Danny and Dusty, 10 of the Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Well, this morning before today's show, I was able to get Mike Schmitz for about 20 minutes to kind of dive into Yong Hansen. And I'm going to write about it tonight after I dive into a bunch of film and just come up with my first evaluation on him. But Mike is obviously a guy that Joe Cronin brought in after a decade of scouting experience with Draft Express under Jonathan Givony. To be the guy that goes out and
he's the assistant GM,
yes,
by title.
He is a guy that has cut his teeth in the international scouting circuit. And for all people who are like, let Joe and Mike cook, this is what you got. Good, bad, or otherwise, whatever you think of it. Like when people say you want to see bold moves and see them make a direction or you know, go after the guys that they want to go after, that's exactly what they've done. And one of the first questions I asked is, you know, what gives you guys the conviction to make what Joe called an unconventional pick? And he said, paraphrasing here, it's about trusting the process and all of the data that we have on him. And I've mentioned this before, every NBA team has their own in-house analytics and modeling and everything that kind of goes along with that. And they have certain indicators for every league around the world, whether it's the Adriatic League or Euro League, U18s, U19s. There's all scaling. And they said our projections really, really, really liked him. And he gave credit to Sergi Oliva, another assistant general manager, who was on the trip with him, with Mike, to China in 2023. He said those guys, they watched over 100 games of his footage and dove into everything about him. And again, they've been tracking him for 2 years, but it was about trusting their eyes, trusting their analytics, trusting their methodology, and going, we don't care what anybody else thinks. We can't, because if we start caring about what someone else thinks of what prospect that we like or that we don't like, then we're not trusting the things that we're trying to do and what we're trying to build on. And that was the crux of what drove this process for them was, and this is what you said, either you're going to trust them or they're getting too high on their own supply.
And look, when you put it on the table, one of those two things is going to happen here. And that this is it to a T, that they are in a situation where they are going full throat conviction in this pick, acknowledging, yeah, it's a reach, but it's still our pick, and it's the one that it's a guy we wanted. It's the spot that we felt the most comfortable trading back to get him. And this comes with, you're putting your head on the chopping block as it pertains to your relationship with this fan base, because there has been a lot of trust that these guys mm-hmm. will make the right pick. And to go back-to-back years of drafting a center, I like competition. I think competition in position groups, if you do not have that guy there, bring in as much competition as you can and see who's going to thrive mm-hmm. in it.
Unless you got the All-NBA guy there who you know is him.
Yeah. Right now, there's not a single player on the Blazers roster that should feel alienated if competition comes in. No. And that includes Chumani Kamara, because for everything that he can do defensively, mm-hmm. offensively, he has his limitations. Mm-hmm. Denny Avdia, same thing. You are a very nice player, but if they get a one on this team, mm-hmm. sorry, you got to take a back seat to that guy.
Yeah,
right?
Let's say the Blazers won the lottery and Cooper Flagg's there. You shouldn't feel threatened. You should show up and go, that's a guy that can help us, but I need to amp.
And so I trust Mike Schmitz, Joe Cronin, and the fact that they have cut their teeth and they spent so much damn time on this one player. But the draft history right now, it hasn't been electric. If that's what they're hanging their hat on, I mean, we can go through them,
You've got Scoot, you've got Shaden, you've got Chris, you've got Donovan.
Rupaire,
and now Young Hansen. Now, you could squeeze Tumani in there if you want to, because they got him in the transaction after the draft.
Before he ever played a game, they liked him, mm-hmm. but at the same time, he was part of a trade, and they had an opportunity to draft him and did not.
Yeah.
Right, but their big acquisitions have been guys who they didn't draft. Denny,
mm-hmm.
That is a good acquisition.
Yes.
Tumani Kamara, that is a very good acquisition. Mm-hmm. And then guys that have either been part of this roster previously, which they also played a role in. Joe especially.
Joe was Ant's scout.
Yeah, Joe has been here for a very long time.
17 years.
But they traded for DeAndre Ayton. They traded for Robert Williams. Though this is where they cut their mm-hmm. teeth, they still have not gotten these home runs, especially because we were talking about, are you going to draft competition for Scoot? Well, they drafted competition for the guy they took last year mm-hmm. because they still are like, I don't know. We don't know if he has it. And that's not a terrible thing for a guy who is the first person, or he's your seventh overall draft pick, and he's played 1 year in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he probably still should have some stuff to prove, right? Yeah. But there's still meat left on the bone to, all right, well, if you're drafting competition, that means you don't have full-throated trust in the guy that's there.
And you're seeing an opportunity for your roster to get better. So one of the other things that I asked, and just watching some limited tape that I did after the press conference last night, was, and this is from also from Sam Vecenie of the Athletic. This was his write-up after the draft. Even though skill absolutely matters with players like this, and it is what makes them special, the guys who tend to make it in this mold are generally the biggest bullies on the court. Think Nikola Jokic, DeMontis Sabonis, Nick Vucevic, and even Karl-Anthony Towns to some extent. They can all put their shoulder in NBA big men and move them backward to establish position wherever they need to on the court. Young doesn't have that ability, unfortunately. And so that was something, and you and I have talked about this a lot over the last couple of years. When I'm doing evals on guys, particularly bigs, and I see somebody who's high-waisted, their center of gravity getting a little bit higher, I reached out to a draft expert who works in biomechanics, and it was one of the first things he brought up. He goes, his ability to bend, and this is a problem that Chet Holmgren has, even though as fluid as he is, his ability to bend at his hips, because he's so high-waisted, it's hard for him to get down.
Yeah, I say this a lot, like, Chet gets to all of his spots, but it never looks graceful.
Like, compare it to Evan Mobley, who just slithers,
yeah.
Or even Wemby, who's even bigger, yeah. who just slithers. Because even though he is 7'5", it's proportional. Yeah, his legs are long, but it matches the ratio of upper to lower body. And he didn't. The guy I was talking to didn't say it was like drastic, but he's like, okay, that may be a bit of a biomechanical limiting factor. But the physicality. When I asked Schmitz about this, he did push back. He said, I actually think it's one of his strongest suits, his willingness to seek out contact. Okay. And over your shoulder, I've been playing all of the combine scrimmages that Yang was in at the NBA Combine. And I've been just kind of...
The noises and looks on your face that you're giving are making me feel a little uncomfortable while I'm sitting over here. Well, you love these highlights.
The things that I'm watching with him, I'm watching for the physicality. That's the thing that I'm like, I want to know, because I'm watching him set screens. And one of the things that Mike was like, his ability to initiate contact, because you can watch screeners in the NBA. You can get better at screening. But like, if you watch Steven Adams screen, he's looking to take your soul 42 times a game.
Yeah.
And it's there's no.
He is an anomaly in that.
Nurk. Yeah. Nurk is one of the best screeners in the NBA. Like, Dame has told me this so many, like the angles and how he just has this feel, and because he's so big. And look, Nurk is a big butt boy. Like, he's going to knock you sideways when he hits you with a screen. And I've watched Yang here quite a bit set very forceful screens. And like, that's how you get on the floor as a big. Like, Donovan's learning how to, he doesn't avoid physicality, but you can see him still trying to navigate screen angles and understanding NBA spacing and things of that nature. Young seems to have some pretty natural feel in that, just kind of watching him and it, just where he does it. And that feeds into his playmaking, working in DHOs and get actions and getting off the ball and catching it in short space after creating that space. So if you're looking for like some positive indicators of like the things that they like,
DHOs,
dribble handoffs. Thank you. Sorry. it happens, but like,
I appreciate you trying to be concise.
Yes. But I've got a lot more in here, which I will dive into in the article, but Mike answered a lot of questions. I still have more because I want to dive more in him because he's a relative unknown.
There's a lot of questions about him.
If you go search YouTube and you try to, all you're going to find is highlights. You're not going to see him miss. And because the CBA, the Chinese Basketball Association, you can't watch games because they're blacked out.
Mm-hmm.
They don't allow the VPNs or anything else in. It is a firm firewall. You can't get those games. So I have to go to some other sources that I've got access to try to pull full game footage, and hopefully that'll be enough to kind of dive into.
But, there you go.
Once I do that tonight, I'll release the article along with the deep dive on the film that I can process and get through. But when we come back, let's finish up this first round and kind of look at forward to what the second round could show, because there are some prospects and there are some trades that are happening in the NBA. Whether or not the Blazers get into them, we'll see. I doubt it at this point, but there could be some action there. And kind of see what the NBA draft in totality will look like here. But first, here's the Big Kuna with Sports Center Update.
Hamburgers, the cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, we've gotten through most of the first round. We have the second round getting underway tonight. We talked a little bit earlier, Jeff Rust, about WAC numbers in the NBA. We have our first WAC number of this draft class.
Okay.
Unfortunately, my guy Valdez Edgecombe, which, God, what a go by. Look, VJ's fine, but Valdez
Edgecombe? Yeah,
oh,
dude.
That's a banger.
Yeah, well, yeah. You sound like a petroleum company.
Guess what number he took?
Okay. I mean, you're talking whack numbers. Something in the 60s?
It's in the 70s.
Okay. Boy, but how is he going to be tied to the 70s? Is he going to get, he's 77? Really?
Ding, 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 ding.
Wow.
VJ Edgecombe were number 77 for the Philadelphia 76ers, according to Etienne Catalan, who is the guy that, I don't know how he does this or who he knows in the NBA front office, but he is the numerology guy for the NBA. If anybody switches numbers, funny enough, we were talking about Derrick Jones. Derrick Jones is changing back to number 5 this year for the Clippers. I was just kind of scrolling through to see if they had any of these already. Trey Johnson, World 12 for the Wizards. Murray Boyles, Will Ware. Why is that hard to say? 12 for Toronto as well. So 12 is a very popular number so far. Konkanipal, number 7. Sorber, 12. Bryant will wear 11 for the Spurs. Jace Richardson, 11. And Essengay, 24 for the Bulls. So Cooper Flagg, it was kind of an unknown of what he was going to go. Mm-hmm. He's going to go 32.
32? Okay.
32.
What did he wear at Duke?
2.
Okay.
Which Kid wore 5, but I think 2 is retired in Dallas, if I remember right.
Okay.
So I'm blanking on who it is, but Kid wore 2 or 5. I can't remember.
Is 32 or like one of his parents' numbers or something?
Could be. No, because his mom wore, I think it is 32 is because Donovan Klingon's mom, I think, wore 11.
Okay.
No. Flag wore...
And because Klingon's mom
for Klingon's mom in high school.
Yeah, but Klingon's mom and Flag's mom, they played together at college, right? Maine,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So he's continuing that trend on here. That's pretty cool. So I have not seen any news yet as far as what number he will wear. He being Hanson Yang. So there you go. But getting through the rest of the first round, we haven't really talked about this much, but the slide of Kasparis Iakashionis. It appears he was the guy that got smokescreened. A lot of teams put out there that they really liked him. And I was told that through the workout process, he was a guy that did well, but fell short basically of at every stop of being the guy that really shined the most. And he ultimately ends up falling to number 20, a pick that belonged to the Golden State Warriors that was traded as part of the Jimmy Butler trade to the Miami Heat. So Kasparis will indeed play for the Miami Heat, which I hate because I don't like to see guys I like go to Miami.
Yeah. Now, here's I've not quite gotten to chime in on this yet. Last night, at first glance, I was a little bummed they were trading back from 11.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw they were going back to 16, and I realized that both Carter Bryant and Iakashionis were still on the board.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, they're trading back. They're hoping that probably one of these guys could still be there at 16.
The bet was between 5 picks, the likelihood at least of one of those 3 guys, Essanga, Bryant, or Kasparis, would be there because Oklahoma City was, they were taking a big. Everybody, so you're like, the likelihood of a team trading up and screwing this up got pretty small, and then New Orleans obviously moves up. They take Derek Queen. You're going, okay, this is looking better. Okay, that makes sense.
So we get to 16, and I'm like, all right, there's still Iakashionis there and Essanga,
I tweeted out, I can has Kasparis.
Yeah, like, exactly.
And
then Young Hansen, and I was gobsmacked,
flabbergasted.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a few texts today. I was like, I went back and watched the live show last night. Your reaction was not disappointing because we were all caught off guard.
Yeah.
I mean, not just me or us locally, the NBA world was like, I nobody, and I mean nobody outside of the Blazers war room knew.
Yeah.
Nobody.
No leaks in that one.
They did. Look, they were
as tight as a frog's butthole.
They were incredible at protecting that. So, a few people texted in and was like, why didn't they trade back? 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 Because the Nets had 4 more picks.
Right.
That's why.
Mm-hmm. Well, and even, it's...
If you want your guy, go get your guy.
Yes.
And that's not just for the Blazers. That's for, if you want your guy, go get him.
Right.
Live by the sword, die by the sword.
The hard part for me is...
If this blows up, guys are going to lose their job.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. The hard part for me is going back and looking and seeing the most recent mocks before the first round happened. And I think the one that I saw was ESPN's that got posted at like 4:22 Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
So right before the draft.
Yeah.
And they had him slated at 36.
Yeah.
And as we talked to Rafael Barlow earlier, he was like basically the lone person on planet Earth that had him going in the first round. Mm-hmm. And that was at 27. So even still, and the Nets had the pick at 26. And 27, yes.
So as far back as you could realistically go, if you think he's going to go 27, is 23, 24, 25.
Right. So that's still...
But
look, if you had tried that, but how if much you're worried more draft about, capital can
but
you
if you're
get?
Worried about your guy not being there because that same team has 2 more picks before... There's not a And this isn't me defending the Blazers. If you want your guy and the team that you're worried about taking him has 4 chances...
This, to me, just reeks of old school Neil Olshey days and trying to outthink the room and being like, hey, we've got our eye on this guy that nobody else really realizes.
Well,
that's the problem that I have.
I don't think it's that in the sense of that because they did trade back.
Well, yes, they did. Yes, they did trade back. But still, in terms of what a general consensus among NBA pundits was, they basically overreached for him by a factor of 2.
Okay. And on the flip side, Kasparis Iakashionis fell 10 spots.
Yes, he did. And
so the consensus, like mocks are mocks.
Right,
like
yes, they absolutely are.
Remember Kobe White,
mm-hmm.
when Cam Johnson went 10th or 11th to Phoenix. What?
Yeah.
Like nobody.
Right.
I mean, nobody had him going that high.
Yeah.
I mean, I know this because Cam Johnson was the Blazers' target that year.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, the Blazers thought that they were in prime position. They were like 21, 22, 23. I can never remember what they ended up taking Nas at. But all of a sudden, they were scrambling.
Yeah.
Because a guy went 12, 13 picks sooner. And you're going, and what the hell?
Look, I'll admit that, granted, none of us know Jack yet. At this point, it's still just Schrodinger's Yang, you know? So we got to let it all play out.
Emphasis on the why.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so, but yeah, it's still just a tremendous head scratcher for me.
I look, without doing the evaluation process of this, because again, full disclosure, I just haven't dove that much into him. It kind of is what it is. And like, if that's their guy, they're going to live by it and die by it. And if he doesn't work out, they're going to get killed for it. And it's probably going to cost jobs.
Yeah.
But if he does.
Well, this is his big swinge.
It is. It is. And that's what we're going to watch over the next couple of years. All right. When we come back and wrap up today's show, just good, crappy news out of the NFL. We'll dive into that to wrap things up here on Danny and Dusty, 10 of the Fan. All right, wrap up today's show, a little sprinkling of crappy NFL news. Well, good news in the sense of somebody who was doing things, at least allegedly, that should not be happening. Former Baltimore Ravens kicker Justin Tucker has been suspended for the first 10 weeks of the 25 regular season after the NFL found that he violated its personal conduct policy the league has announced Thursday. He can serve the suspension as a free agent and is free to sign with an NFL team. For those that are wondering, Tucker was accused of sexual misconduct by 16 massage therapists from 8 high-end spas and wellness centers in the Baltimore area. And the NFL has concluded their investigation and said, "Sir, you suck. Here is a 10-game suspension."
See, now, here's... All right. Justin Tucker, bad human. That's pretty clear. What I, in previous suspensions of this ilk, I feel like players had to serve a suspension once they were signed by a team and couldn't just serve it as a free agent.
Well, he's not getting paid here, so like he's missing 10 weeks of pay regardless.
Well, right. Well, yes. So what exactly is the punishment then? Because he's not on a team. Nobody assigned him.
Well, he can't sign for 10 weeks.
Well, no, they're saying that it's what... He can sign for 10 weeks. He's just suspended. He can't play for 10 weeks.
Well,
and also, I guess the other part is, and this might just be splitting hairs, typically it's games that they say suspend.
But they
said 10 weeks, not 10 games. You know what I mean? So it's like you're eliminating a bye. Because a lot of times there'll be a bye week in there somewhere that you know, a suspension will, like I said, maybe I'm splitting hairs, but.
Look, I mean, he should probably be suspended for the season.
Yeah, sure. I'd be down for that.
And one of the people in the lawsuit, sorry, I had the agent's line here, said, "I don't think it's enough. He got 10 weeks. We have to deal with this for the rest of our lives."
Yeah.
Watson's was the indefinite one. He was on the commissioner's exempt list and everything that came along with that. Yeah, no. I if this is proven in a court of law and everything comes with it, throw the freaking book at him.
Yeah.
Be done with him. I don't care.
Well, and it's one thing if it's, you know,
because they're just saying he violated the personal conduct policy. This is not the legal case being finalized like we have with Wander Franco,
mm-hmm.
who was found guilty of the actual terminology I want to get right. Was it sexual assault of a minor?
I don't know, but they locked away the girl's mother for, I think, twice as long and called that trafficking. So if he didn't get trafficking charges.
But Wander Franco, because he has a sexual offense on his record, he has been indeed found guilty today.
Yeah.
He will not be able to get a visa to work in the U.S.
So okay, he's good.
He gone.
Yeah.
Which.
FAFO.
Yeah. No, that's what I mean. Like,
yeah.
It was like, well, he needs more. I'm like, we're not letting him in the country. That seems pretty prohibitive.
I guess just my original point was I felt like, and I could be completely off base here and totally wrong, but I felt like in similar situations like this,
there's certainly some
if somebody
wiggle
were not on an active
language,
roster,
yeah.
that suspension would not begin until somebody was on an active roster.
Yeah. No, I'm picking up what you're putting down. I just, there's certainly some wiggle room in the language that I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
But again, I think this is probably the end of his career, regardless.
Well, I mean, he's old, too, right?
He's 35. He definitely started to wear down. The automaticness of him is certainly faded. This is not Gary Anderson kicking until he was, what, 44?
Something like that.
It was dumb old.
Well, you had both Gary and Morton.
Yeah.
They both kicked into their
40s. Forever.
Yeah.
It seems like we've gotten away from the kicker that lives forever.
Right.
You know what I mean? It seemed like you had some that just played like deep into their 30s and mid 40s. And now.
Like a Jan Stenerud.
Yeah. I mean, you know what I mean? Like there's guys that just hung around for a really long time. Now it seems like these guys are kicking 65 yarders so regularly, the legs are fading.
Yeah. It's like the Zendejas brothers.
Yeah. It's like, you know, I mean, the guys that just stand around forever, just don't be a Grammatica and tear your knee celebrating. That's always a tough look.
Yes, yeah, the Grammatica brothers, not quite as successful as the Zendejas brothers, or at least not the longevity.
The NBA draft second round coverage will resume here tonight. There are a few players that were expected to go in the first round that did not go. One of those being Rashear Fleming. He will certainly be a name that's up there. Maxime Renaud, the big man from Stanford, is certainly a guy that is on that list. Ryan Kalkbrenner.
I hear Maxime Renaud, and all I can think of is the villain in Despicable Me 4 played by Will Ferrell.
It's pretty spot on. And then Ryan Kalkbrenner, the big man from Creighton, who I would be pretty stunned if he is not a Boston Celtic right
that
away.
Just kind of seems like a fit, doesn't it?
There was a lot of intel that if he wasn't taken at 28, I think, where the Celtics picked, they had another pick in the second round where, like, we'll go with Mr. Kalkbrenner.
Well, and let's face it, it's not like the Celtics don't historically like the Whites.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and they did ship one out in Kristaps, so you know, right? you gotta keep your Whites up in Boston.
Got to get back to par.
Yeah, so they've got Hauser and they've got Pritchard, so. Mm-hmm. Trying to think, do they have any others currently on the roster in their active rotation? Because their quota's getting low.
Do you count Derek White?
I mean, sure, Derek White is a tantalizing white. So there's three whites on the roster. There you go. But they need one dyed in the one. Ryan Kalkbrenner is white.
Yes,
there's no mistake in what's going on. Kalkbrenner.
Pacey.
Kalkbrenner, not
as white as the
Kalk
and the Kalk gun.
Yeah, not a lot of melanin in that. Well, that'll do it for us today here on Thursday, round one of the NBA draft. The Blazers have the most surprising pick probably in my lifetime that I've seen, particularly in the first round. Come up next, it's 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. Isaac Soup with Primetime. Thank you all for being here. We'll catch you all tomorrow. Talk soon. Take care. Bye.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.